That was like serious bass, wasn't it? If I was a charismatic, I would have said the Spirit would just showed up. Right? Amazing. Hey, welcome. It's good to have you here this morning. Is everybody doing well today? It's great to be in the house of the Lord together. This has been an exciting week for our family. By God's grace, we welcomed a new member into our family this week as Robert and Nicole had baby Judith yesterday morning, and we can't wait to see her because of the circumstances. Scott and Carla and I are unable to get into the hospital, but we look forward to, Lord willing, tomorrow or Tuesday when they come home, having a chance to welcome our new little granddaughter. And named after my mother-in-law, Judith, and we are praying and trusting the Lord that she will indeed grow up to have a love for her Maker the way that God has drawn Judy to herself. And so that would be the greatest blessing ever. Amen? Amen. So if you would join us in praying for that in the years ahead, we would deeply appreciate that. And so that means that this weekend, we've been watching Timothy. And little Timothy's been with us, and he's a bundle of joy and a lot of excitement and enthusiasm. And Carla's been running ragged, chasing after him and having fun as I've been kind of continuing to prep and prepare for this morning. But as I was thinking about having Timothy around the last 48 hours or so, I was reminded of what it was like when I was a young man, a young boy. And I can remember going to see my grandparents in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I can remember the drive, and it seemed so long to get from Chicagoland, the suburbs of Chicago, all the way up to Green Bay, Wisconsin. By the way, go Packers, right? We're undefeated this year. I haven't watched a game because I'm kind of not a really, well, anyway, that's a whole other story. But driving up to Green Bay, Wisconsin, it was a long time. But there was something that I learned about my grandmother. And something that I understood about my grandmother, and that was that she made the most amazing bread. She made the most amazing bread. And now you need to understand something about me. I love bread. Okay? I love bread. In fact, the worst thing I could ever do or attempt to do was go on a no-carb or low-carb diet. That would be torture to my body. It would be like withdrawal all over. Because I love bread. Everything from the smell of it. Can't you just smell it? Like right now when I'm just talking about it? You can smell it, right? You can smell it. Come on. Raise your hand if you smell warm bread brewing, baking in the oven. It's just an amazing smell. And then everything from that to the crisp, fresh, crusty stuff that you just pull right off the top and the steam comes out of it, and you're just enjoying every moment of it as you drop that butter on there, and it just melts into that warm, moist, glorious, isn't it? Bread. I love bread so much that the first thing I ever learned to bake was drop biscuits. Yeah, for real. I was like in, third grade, and somebody said, hey, you can make your own bread. I said, okay, how do I do that? They said, take a box of Bisquick, mix it with water, and then just drop it onto something and bake it up. And so I would come home from school, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and I would make drop biscuits, and I would just devour them after school because I love bread. And when I was in high school, when the other guys were signed up to take woodworking and mechanics, I was signed up to take foods one, foods two, and foods three. All right? And you laugh, but check this out. Because I was there for a couple reasons. Now get this. The first was because that's where the bread was, right? But the second and more importantly was that's where the girls were. And so when my buddies were coming around showing me what they carved out of wood, and if they telling me, hey, yeah, you know, we know how to change a tire. Well, big deal. Let me just tell you about how to make cupcakes, okay? Let me show you that. And more importantly, let me just share a little bit about the relationship that I'm developing with this young lady in foods one, two, and three. three semesters. That's right. I took three semesters of foods. That's why I love food. But it all started when I was a young boy. On those journeys from Chicago to Green Bay. And the thought that the moment I got to grandma's house, and the moment I ran in that door, there would be this overwhelming aroma of fresh baked bread, and I would run to the kitchen where she would slice it up and put it out on a plate, and then she would take this homemade raspberry jam made by the raspberries in the backyard, and I'm telling you, it was manna. It was delicious. It was amazing. So all that didn't really pass to me. I'm not a good bread maker myself, okay? But I was fortunate enough to pass that down into my daughter Jacqueline, who actually is an amazing bread maker. And so every week they celebrate Sabbath meal on Friday, Jacqueline and Amir do, and Jacqueline makes up this fantastic challah bread. And if you haven't had it, you need to show up on a Friday evening sometime and just ask for it because it is delicious. And the best part of that is that pre-COVID, we would just pass it around the table and grab off pieces and the steam would pull out of that and you could just taste that bread and just bite into that crusty crust. Devour it. Loved it. And everybody's like, where am I going for lunch? Well, I'm going home because I have Timothy, but that's okay. That's okay. Here's what I know. God has given us an insatiable appetite for that which we hunger and thirst after, has he not? God has given us an insatiable appetite for the foods that we love and for the bread that we long to fill our stomachs with. And this morning, we continue in our study, the study of Jesus is. And we've been looking at the seven I am's in the study of the proclamations of who Jesus said he was. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And this morning, guess what we're talking about? I am the bread of life. So if you have your Bibles, will you join me in John chapter 6 as we pick it up there this morning. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Do you hear that? I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare to dive into this glorious truth this morning. Father God, oh God, we are so thankful for the privilege that is ours to be called your children, to be called by your name, to be drawn close to you by your grace. And God, this morning I would pray that our lives would show forth that love and grace to the world we walk in each day. But God, this morning, I pray that we, as we examine the proclamation that you made, that you are the bread of life, that we will find in you sustenance, not for our stomachs, but for our souls. And Lord, that you would appropriate your great gift of life to us as we come and believe. So God, move in a mighty way and accomplish your great pleasure for your glory. And that alone we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Our big idea this morning is this, that only Jesus can provide eternal life and temporary satisfaction. Jesus can provide eternal life with temporary satisfactions. Three questions that we want to consider this morning. The first one that we want to consider is this. Do I get stuck seeking perishable nutrition for temporary satisfaction? You have to ask yourself that question this morning, is how often do you get stuck seeking temporary, perishable nutrition? How often do we get stuck? Now, we've been looking with our men. We began this last Thursday night in a in-depth study in how to get after the depths of God's Word together. And so this week, we taught some hermeneutical principles in how to study God's Word. And men, I'm so grateful for the almost 20 men that have committed a year to do this together. And they're going to give of their Thursday evening for an hour each evening at 5:45 to 6:45 to dive deeper into God's Word. But I would encourage you, if you're not one of those men that said yes to that, that maybe you say, well, I just can't be there every week. I get it. But could you be there, you know, 8 out of 10? Or could you be there 7 out of 10? Or could you be there 6 out of 10? Anything will help you as you begin to study and understand how to digest this truth. And so we talked about one thing on Thursday night. We talked about when we look at a verse like this, we don't just look at that verse and extract it from the passage that it's in and try to make it make sense. What we say is we have to understand what? The context. And the word context is a Latin word. It's kind of interesting. Con meaning together. And textus, which means woven, or like textile, you woven it together. And so context, it means we are woven. Whoa. It's like, no, it doesn't matter. It's woven together, right? And we need to understand it as such. You can't just pluck something out of the text and assume that you can provide truth that way. You have to take something within the context or within the greater words around it. And so let me just remind us of the context with which Jesus made this amazing proclamation. You see, the day before, in the beginning of chapter 6, Jesus comes and he brings this idea to the disciples. Hey, listen, there's all these people. They're gathered around. They look hungry. We need to feed them. So what do you have? And they're like, well, Lord, we don't have enough money to get anything for all these people. And he's like, no. What can you find? What do you have? And so they go to some little lad that's got a school lunch with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they bring it back to him and say, this is all we've got, Lord. And what does he do? He multiplies it. What does he do? He feeds them. He solves the issue of their need, and he meets the issue of their need. 5,000 fed from 5 loaves. And if you are of the persuasion that that was just the men, it's probably more like 20,000 because it was women and children. And at the end of which, they gathered up 12 baskets full of leftovers because they were filled with the bread that Jesus provided. And so that was nothing more than a demonstration of what Jesus, as the bread of life, was able to do to meet their satisfaction temporarily. But it is really nothing more than an illustration or a demonstration of what the bread of life can do to our souls. And so if that was the demonstration, then now let's look at the application and let's pick it up a little bit back into verse 24 when he says this. This is the next day. Verse 24, after he's fed the 5,000, it says, the multitude therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples. They themselves got into the boat and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Now, they had been in Tiberias. He had presented this miracle and multiplied these loaves and fed the people. And he had gone up onto the mountain to pray. His disciples had gotten in a boat. They had gone to Capernaum. And you remember, it was that night that there was a big storm on the water. Jesus walked out on the water. They were frightened. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. It's just me. And all of a sudden, now he's with them going to Capernaum. And here the rest of them are in Tiberias, waking up the next morning. And guess what next morning brought to them? Hunger. Because it doesn't go away. At least not for me. I don't know about y'all, but doesn't go away, right? Hunger, it's there. And so you got to go back for more. And so what do? They start searching for the one that brought them something the day before. And they start going after him. It says they're seeking Jesus. And look what it says in verse 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? When did you get here? Like, we've been looking for you. There's no way. There's no other boats. How did you get over here? We didn't see you leave. But we're glad we found you. Can't wait to get more food. Right? They're like dogs, just like, you know, Pavlov's theory or whatever, going after the bone. They're just chasing, seeking Jesus for what? To satisfy their temporal, perishable, nutritional desires. And what do they say? Verse 26, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Jesus just like cuts to the chase. He just puts them right in their tracks. He just says, listen, I'm not buying this. You're coming after me for the wrong reason. You're pursuing me for that which is perishable. That's the wrong reason. You're seeking after perishable nutrition that has temporal satisfaction. And in verse 27, he says this, do not work for the food which is perishable, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. So he comes to 27 and he's like, listen, you are pursuing all the wrong nutrition. You are pursuing all the wrong sustenance. Jesus is proclaiming that he is better than the bread that he provided to them yesterday, and they're coming for more food. They're coming for more stomach fill. And what Jesus is saying is you're seeking the temporal, and what I'm after is for you to seek the eternal. But Jesus is reminding them, he says, you are seeking the physical, but what I'm after is that you would seek the spiritual. What Jesus is saying to them is you are seeking to fill your stomachs, but what I'm after is that you would seek to fill your souls. And there's only one that has the capacity to do that. And he is proclaiming to be that one, that true bread of life. Now, it's natural. Is it not natural for us to be hungry? It's natural. I mean, I'm amazed. Like, you know, God could have, you know, created us without all of that thing, right? He could have created us where we didn't have any hunger at all. And we could all weigh the same. Well, that would be boring, would it? I mean, like, God created us to enjoy things. And so there is this hunger, but I also think that what he was doing was reminding us of the ability to understand needs. And every day, we're reminded, sometimes two, three, four, and if you're like me and you go often for the fifth meal, five times, right? That we are after it to pursue the thing that is a desire and drawing us. It is a hunger. It is a thirst. Adam and Eve were hungry prior to the fall, were they not? Otherwise, they would have had no reason to go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and pluck the fruit and enjoy it. So let us just examine our hearts for a moment this morning. Let me ask you a question. What are the things that you hunger and thirst for? And I'm not talking about food this moment. I'm talking about what are the things in your life that you truly hunger and thirst for? The desires of your heart are driving towards. You say, well, if I could just have this, there'd be greater satisfaction. Or if I could get to that part of the company's ladder, I'd have greater satisfaction. Or if there was a way that in any way, shape, or form, God would somehow bless me with whatever, then I would have satisfaction. You see, so we're no different than the multitudes in this moment. Because we're seeking after perishable nutrition for temporary satisfaction. And it's empty. It's empty, church. The Bible says that God put a longing or a desire within our spirit, our soul, for eternity. It is that same craving that we will never find fulfilled or satisfied in the things of this world. It's impossible. Ask Solomon. He tried. He searched it all. He had it all. But he didn't have the joy of the Lord, the sustenance of the Savior. You know, I think that sometimes we believe that we are a body that has a soul. Do we not believe that? Sometimes we say, we are a body that has a soul. And so we emphasize so much energy on the body part, and we ignore the soul part. We exercise, we diet, we do proper nutrition, Juice Plus, Nutrilife, Advocare, USANA, whatever. It's not going to add a day to your life. It might add some quality, I'm not going to lie. But your days are numbered. Rather, we should suggest or ought to ask ourselves this question. Am I a body that has a soul, or am I a soul that's living in a temporary body? You see the difference? Because here's the thing I know. The Bible's clear. The one thing that's going to live on forever is the inner man, the soul. And one day, by God's grace, when we are raised up again with Christ, we will receive a new body, and we'll shed ourselves from all the disasters of this thing that we are temporarily walking in. Praise God. Amen? And all the effort and exercise and energy that we pour into this body is useless as it relates to our eternity. But might we pour into the soul this morning? Might we allow the soul to be filled with the bread of life this morning? See, the scripture, we see often in the scripture that our soul is described as that which hungers and thirsts. Pastor Jason read it this morning out of Psalm 63. He said, "Oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In a dry and a weary land, there is no water." Psalm 42, verse 1 says, "As a deer pants for the water's brook, so my soul pants for you, O God." Can you relate with that verse this morning? We also see throughout the Word of God that the Word is often referred to in terms of food analogies, right? And so if the soul is referred to as that which is hungering for something, the Word is often called milk or meat or bread or food. See the connection? And so what God is telling us this morning, what Jesus is telling us this morning, is that Jesus is to the soul what the manna was to those in the wilderness that day. He is the sustenance to our soul. Look on, verse 28. He says, "Then Jesus said, therefore, to him, what shall we do?" Or they said to Jesus, I'm sorry. They said, therefore, to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." You know, it's amazing. He says, hey, listen, do not work for the things that are perishable. Stop pursuing all of these energies towards things that have no eternal value, and start pursuing the thing that does. And they just hear, how do we get more food? And so they come back to him. They're like, okay, then what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Why? Because they're still thinking about the flesh. They're still thinking physically. They're talking about works to earn their right towards something. And Jesus is like, no. You want to know what the work is? You want to know what the do is? The do is believe. Believe. Believe what? Believe in him who God has sent. I love that it says God has sent. You know why? Because it's evidence of the reality that Jesus was with God. Right? Jesus was with God. We know that. And God sent him. Why? So that we could have life. Believe in the one who was pre-existent. There's a second question we want to ask ourselves this morning, and that is, am I missing out on the sustenance of the Savior? So am I missing out on the sustenance of the Savior? First, do I get stuck seeking perishable nutrition for temporal satisfaction? I would say if you do, you're missing out on the sustenance of the Savior. So ask yourself the question this morning, where am I missing out on the sustenance of the Savior? Look what happens in verse 30. They said therefore to him, what then do you do for a sign that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Really? Like, were you not there yesterday? I took five and made 20,000. Well, yeah, but that wasn't enough. I got to have more, Lord. That was just for yesterday. And look at this. They take it a step further. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. If you're a God, Jesus, we believe that the Messiah is going to do similar things to what happened with Moses, and he provided on a daily basis for years. And so why don't you start providing? If we see those things, then maybe we'll believe. Really? Do you know what I see in these verses? Look on verse 32, or 31, 32, it says, Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. This speaks to the sustenance of the Savior, who came out of heaven and gave life to the world. Just the same way that manna came out of the heavens, it wasn't Moses that provided that. It was God that provided that. You want to know who sent Jesus? God sent Jesus. Why? So that we could have life and have it abundantly and have it eternally. And so he says, hey, I'm going to give you the same, except greater. Right? And here's the beautiful thing. What I see this evidence of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He came down out of heaven. He came out of heaven. In verse 38, it says, for I have come down out of heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Verse 50, it says, this is the bread which comes down out of heaven. Verse 58, he says this, this is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the Father ate and died, as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. This is the bread that came down out of heaven. This is the incarnation. This is the Son of God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. And if we are to find acceptance with a holy God this morning and come to the throne of grace before a holy God this morning, it is absolutely necessity that God provide that way. It is a necessity that God send a Savior. It is a necessity for us to appropriate that Savior to our souls this morning so that we don't miss out on the sustenance of the Savior. He became like us, though unlike us, without sin or blemish, so that we might become like him, free of sin. Amazing. He had to do this. He had to come. He had to obey the law that we so often fail to obey over and over and could never have obeyed and would not have life without his sacrifice. And if we are to find acceptance before a holy God, it must come at the hands of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the gift of God. But the people, they're missing it, aren't they? They're not there yet. They're not getting it. Look at verse 34. It says, they said therefore to him, Lord, the word would better be translated, sir, evermore, give us this bread. What bread? The bread that came down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 33, give us this bread. They're still thinking about their stomachs. They're not thinking about their souls. And look at verse 36. Jesus, but I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. What a horrible thought. That you could actually see Jesus and not believe. I'm reminded of 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 8. He says this. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him, and though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. You see, those of us who are on the other side of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, we only have faith to believe. We don't have sight to believe. And so what God has called you and me this morning to is to believe on what we know to be true, based upon the historical written evidence of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus rose from the dead. And in that, we might have life. Don't miss the sustenance of the Savior this morning. Well, I think there's three reasons why people pass on the bread of life. I think there's three reasons why people pass on the bread of life. You know what it's like when you're sitting around the dinner table and somebody passes the food down around the table and you either choose to opt in or opt out, right? And so let's look at three reasons why we believe people pass on the bread of life. The first one is this. I haven't cleaned up for dinner yet. Now, when I was a kid, if my mother had cooked a dinner, I had one responsibility before dinner. That was to go in my room, wash my hands, present myself with the proper clothing, come down to the dinner table, and I would have a meal. But people pass on the bread of life because they think that they're unclean. I'm not cleaned up. My life's a wreck. Man, I'm a sinner. I'm wicked. I am unworthy of Jesus Christ. And so I'm not coming to the dinner table because if I come to the dinner table, I'm a mess. Well, welcome to the club of sinful people, born by nature, children of wrath. We're all sinners, and we're all in need of a Savior. And none of us come clean to Jesus. We always come unclean. That's the beauty of the Savior. When we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So don't allow your uncleanness to keep you from coming to the table of Jesus Christ. There's a second reason I would say to you this morning, and that is this. I haven't worked for it yet. I'm not quite there yet. I got to do some other things to earn my way. I got to do some other mission trips, or I got to raise more support, or I got to give more dollars, or I got to buy my way into the kingdom of God. That's not the message. Not the message in the Word of God. The Word of God says that God will draw those whom he desires to himself, and God will give you the faith to believe in him. But he also challenges us to come and believe. And that's where we have this balance between the sovereignty of God and salvation and the individual responsibility of man. And we're not God, so we're trying to balance that out. And I believe what God is saying is all that the Father has given Jesus Christ, he says this in verse 38 or 37, something like that, he will lose none. But at the same time, God is going to draw those to himself. But at the same time, God's calling you and me this morning to come to the table for the bread of life. You don't work for it. You can't earn it. There's nothing you could do. It is done already by him. Jesus said, it is finished. It is ours to appropriate to our soul this morning and be satisfied. Amen? There's a third reason I think people pass on the bread of life, and that is this. Hang on, I'll get it here. I just ate a bunch of junk food. Like, I'm going to let the bread of life pass because I just ate a bunch of junk food. I'm filling my stomach with all things that are perishable, and therefore, the one thing that's imperishable, the bread of life, I'm going to pass on because I've filled my stomach, my soul, with things that are perishable. Do not allow yourself to fill your stomach with things that are perishable. Do not allow, well, your soul with things that are perishable. Amen? See, Jesus is spiritual bread for a hungry soul. What food is to our bodies, Jesus is to our souls. And when we eat physical bread, it is sustenance to our bodies. It is life-giving. But Jesus Christ is the sustenance to our souls, and he is the one who gives eternal life. The true satisfaction is found in him and him alone. Without him, we have no life. And what kind of life does Jesus promise? What does he say? Verse 27, eternal life. Seek that. Go after the food which endures to eternal life. Verse 27, verse 40, he says it again. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. That is our hope, the last day, that we will see our Savior face to face, because we have partaken of the bread of life, and we have satisfied our souls with him and him alone. And one day the promise to those who have embraced him by faith in that fashion will be brought up together with him, made alive together with him in the clouds with Christ. What a great hope. I love it that he's going to raise us up on the last day. He says it again in John 6:44. He says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. He says it at the end of 54. And I will raise him up on the last day. I wonder, do you know if you'll be raised on that day? What have you been feasting on that would be evidence of your hope? There's a third thing that we want to ask ourselves this morning, and that is this: what will I do with the bread of life? You know, I think if we're going to look at Jesus and take him at his word in its most natural, normal, customary sense, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, the promise is that he is your sustenance. He is all you need to have life and have it abundantly. And if we're going to receive that, if we're going to believe that, then I think we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with this bread of life? I couldn't resist, but this morning I went over to Publix and I said, can you give me a hot loaf? I mean, like something right out of the oven. And this baby was hot when they stuck it in here this morning. I can still feel a little warmth coming out of it. You can just feel that. You know, you can just feel that. It's got that great kind of density to it, but you still feel the air in there. It's still kind of baking itself. And you know what it likes like to peel that off and just put it in your mouth and eat of this? In fact, it was so funny because when I brought it, I bought this. That was it, in a bottle of water. And when I brought it up to the counter, there was a young man there, and he was checking me out, and he grabbed it, and he went, oh, wow. He goes, you just want to dive your head right into that right now, don't you? And I'm like, you know it, baby. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Only this is that which brings temporal satisfaction. But I want you to think of this morning as the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And what are you going to do with this bread? Are you feasting on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? For the believers in the room, I would ask you this question. Say, yeah, well, you know, I already believe, I've come to Jesus, I get all that, but I would ask you this question this morning, believer, whom are you sharing the bread of life with today? See, that ought to convict every believer in this room. Because what I know to be true in my own life is probably true amongst most of us, is that we do not do a great job of sharing the bread of life with those around us. But you know how often I talk about sharing good bread with people? Like, if there was a really good bakery in town and I loved that bakery, I would talk about that. It's kind of like I talk about Giordano's pizza, because that is like big, thick bread crust, right? And so I always promote Giordano's pizza because it is good. But do we have that same fervency to share the bread of life? So what will you do with the bread of life this morning? That's for you, believer. How about those who are here this morning who maybe just never really embraced Jesus Christ by faith? The great call to you this morning, the great invitation to you from the Lord Jesus Christ is found right there in verse 35. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. What Jesus is saying is to those who embrace him, who come to him and believe in him, you will neither hunger nor thirst. And Jesus will bring a satisfaction to your soul that'll be eternal. So I want to look just closely for your sake at these two words, come and believe. Come and believe. Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, come means to commit yourself to. It is to give your life to. It is to submit yourself to. That's what it means to come. But it's so much more than just coming to Jesus. To come to Jesus means you have to leave something, right? Because when you come something to something, you leave something else behind. All of you today, you came to church and you left your home to come to church. And so when Jesus says, come to me, he's saying, I want you to leave the old nature, the sin life behind, and come to the one who will give you pure satisfaction that is imperishable. That's what Jesus is calling you to this morning. So are you willing to come? More importantly, are you willing to leave behind the old? Are you willing to come and pursue the new in Jesus Christ, or are you willing to leave behind the old? Notice he says, come to me. Not to church, not to Sunday school, not to confirmation, not to baptism, not to Christian school, not to religion, not to you name it. No, no, no. He says, come to me. We come with nothing but our sin in order to have our guilt removed and our sin forgiven. Acts 4:12 says this, and there is salvation in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given away amongst men by which we should be saved. Verse 37 says, and the Father gives, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. That is our hope. If you come to Jesus this morning, have you come to Jesus in your life? I heard it said this way one time. It said, when we come to Jesus, we come with nothing but our sin, and we need everything except justice. Because if we got justice from Jesus, then we would have no hope. Right? Because what we deserve is eternal damnation, to be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. But what we can receive by coming and believing is eternal life, basking at the face of the Savior forever and ever and ever, allowing the Savior to be the sustenance of your soul forever and ever and ever. So first, Jesus says you need to come, but he also says you need to believe. And if you believe, you shall not thirst. We need to believe. You say, well, in what? In him. In him. This means that we completely yield our spirit unto him. We completely entrust ourselves to him, utterly dependent on him for all things. That's what it means to believe. And in verse 39 it says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on that last day. Everyone. So do you believe in the Son as the bread of life to be the sustenance of your soul this morning? Man, don't wait till you're cleaned up. He's the only one that can clean you. Don't think that you can earn it on your own. He's accomplished it already. You just need to yield your spirit. You need to believe and come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith this morning. Everyone who does that will be satisfied, the Bible says. It's not enough to believe Jesus or to believe about Jesus, but we must believe in Jesus. You see the difference? The word in there actually can carry the connotation of into. And so, in other words, what Jesus is saying here is that if you believe into him, you will have life. This week, Carla and I were traveling, and we were in the airport in Detroit, and we were waiting for the plane to arrive at our gate. We had our boarding pass. We were there, ready. Plane came in, pulled up. They brought the little drawbridge out to it, and eventually, they opened the gate door, and the lady came upon the little microphone and said, you know, we're going to be boarding in a moment, blah, 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 blah. But the door was open. The opportunity for us to board was there. But the choice was ours to make. Now, we could choose to come and board, which we did. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here, right? Or we could have chose to stay behind and miss the fact that the door was open. Here's what I would say to you this morning. If God has put it on your heart to come to Jesus and believe this morning, don't miss the opportunity. Don't harden your heart. The door is open to you this morning for you to come and believe into him by yielding your spirit and embracing his gift of life. And then you'll be able to look at this with new hope. And you'll be able to receive this with new hope. The door was open for Noah. He walked in and God gave him life. The door is open to you this morning. Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, Isaiah 55 says this. In Isaiah 55, he says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat, come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and wages for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. And in verse 6, he says this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ, today is your opportunity to come and board the plane that Jesus is on to carry you to eternal hope. Let it be so this morning. Two responses. The first was in verse 66. Look at this. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. What a sad testimony. They could not get their heads around what he was proclaiming, and they withdrew, and they did not walk with him anymore. You know what that means? That's a description of discipleship. They no longer became a disciple of Jesus Christ. They walked away from Jesus Christ because they couldn't understand the proclamation that he was making. And this morning, my burden, my heart, my prayer all week has been that there wouldn't be anybody in this room that would walk out of this room this morning who hasn't embraced Jesus Christ by faith, because he's our only hope, church. He's all we got. There is a response for you this morning. It's found in verse 67. Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? And Simon Peter answered him, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. God, have your way in this room this morning. Holy Spirit, have your way amongst these people this morning, that they too would believe and come to Jesus Christ. That is our prayer this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the bread of life. We thank you that you have provided sustenance for our souls in your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is his sacrifice that we appropriate to our hearts and our minds and our souls this morning to find everlasting satisfaction. So, Father God, this day, might you move in the hearts of men, women, children alike, and accomplish your great glory. In Jesus' name, amen.